Craig Patnick, let's be honest. Your past 12 months with Porthmadog would probably make a good Netflix script, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. And when you're watching the likes of Sunderland and Leeds behind the scenes, it would make a good story, to be honest. Although, albeit frustrating for myself and the club. You know, we've gone from being in a very strong position at the start of the season to holding out, holding on and hoping to survive at the end of the season. It's been crazy times, to be honest.
I won't ask you who plays you. I'm sure you're going to say Brad Pitt.
Not so sure about that.
Moving on to the sort of, I don't know, timetable of all of this. Look, this time at the end of last season, you know, you'd made your mind not to sort of continue with the frontline coaching at Porthmadog, and obviously Sean I didn't carry on with that. At what point did you think it was the right time to get involved again?
Well, I mean, the end of last season, I was actually going to stay on and sort of help Sean along, but I felt the decision was made quite rash by myself. And then after a month of thinking about it, I realised that I probably couldn't work in an environment where I wasn't having the final say. And I felt that wouldn't be fair on Sean himself either, the club or the players. So that's why I made a decision to leave. So it's a difficult one, really.
It would have been hard for Sean, to be fair, wouldn't it? Because you'd always been the number one, and then you're sort of in the background, but you're not the number one anymore. It's a bit of an odd situation.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been, and I don't think it works at any club, really, to be honest. You know, it would have been difficult for the players to, who do they listen to, who do they take serious, and it was the right decision at the time, to be honest. And then obviously, I'd come away from coaching and had a phone call with Bichelli, and Ben Ogilvie, who I've known for years, asked me to go over and help him, and actually put the boots back on, albeit being a mistake, I think. But I did enjoy it. There was no stress of management. There was no issues regarding ringing players constantly, etc., etc. As most managers would tell you, it's a difficult job, to be honest. You're in that frame of mind every single day. Although it's only semi-professional part-time, it's every single day, as I said. So I didn't miss it at the time. And then Sean called me, and obviously I kept an eye on Port's results, and it was disappointing to see them struggling week from week, and had a conversation with Sean, and I met the board, and I think it was the right decision to go back. Personally, looking back, I wanted to help them. And then obviously Sean, the results didn't go our way, and the club opted to let Sean leave and for me to come back in and take over.
I mean, a heck of a challenge facing you when you walked in, for multiple reasons. What was the first thing you felt needed to be changed to get the results right?
It's mentality more than anything, Mark. You know, it's a funny thing in football. You know, when, you know, we all play football to win football games, but when you're down there and you're fighting and you feel like everything's going against you, from the officials, the way the game goes, you look to shed blame. You know, nobody wants to take responsibility, but I just tried to make the players realise that, look, you're accountable. We're responsible as a group now to turn things around. We can't look to blame anyone else. It's on us as a group. You know, and we have had some good results, and I think we've been a lot more difficult to play against. But at the same time, we've still not picked up the points that I hoped that we would, especially given the signings that we brought in.
I mean, you've gone from a side that was struggling to what I would call a Jekyll and Hyde side. You know, you've rightly identified two or three results there where nobody saw them coming, and they've dragged you a little bit out of the quagmire, as it were, but then the week after, you're back in it, aren't you?
Yeah, and that's the problem, you know, that at any level, you need to be consistent, and we just haven't. And I think that, again, goes down to mentality. I think if we're settled early and we get into the game, I think the players can express themselves more, but the longer the games go on and the tighter they become, you know, that mentality sets in again, and it's all because of the season they've had, really, and the results that have gone against them over the course. And we've got to remember, there's been a massive turnover of players from last season to the start of this season, to then me letting quite a lot go in January and bringing quite a few in. So time is something that we didn't really have much of. You know, you're only training once a week, twice a week, some weeks. It's difficult for players to commit to that at this level. And it has been hard, but if you look at the squad that we've got on paper, the quality's there. There's no doubt about it. It's just getting that consistency, as you said.
And a great fan base behind you who have seen fantastic times down at Detroit, who are probably scratching their head about why it's in the situation it is in at the moment. I know you've been honest with them, but do you feel that they're perhaps seeing a different Porthmadog this season in the terms of this is a transition?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a football fan myself, and as I said, you know, every week from when I left the club, I was looking at the results and I felt it. I was disappointed with the results that they were getting. But at the same time, you know, it is a club that's held in quite high esteem around the area and one that has had successful times in the past. But unfortunately, those successful times have been far and few in between in the last decade, I would say. So we need to make sure that we continue to strive to build that success again. And we are trying to do that. When I went back in there 5 years ago, I took over after Gareth Paddy. It's been a long road. And as I said, end of last season was very messy because we'd probably got to a position where on paper, we had one of the better squads in the league. We would have continued to push on this season. I've got no doubt about that with the likes of Julian Williams, Sean Edwards staying and adding a little bit more quality last summer. But that wasn't to be. And now, as you said, it is a rebuilding stage again. It feels like I've gone back in and I'm back 5 years ago. But saying that, the players that we've got there at the moment, there's quality and there's experience. And there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, a good start the pre-season and we'd go on to do good things. But who knows what's going to pan out this season now.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second. I just want to sort of look at the league structure, actually, because is this the harder league than it has been? And why I say that is twofold. There are 17 teams in the league now, which meant one extra relegation place, so that one more team that had to worry about where they were coming from. The second thing is that relegation place arguably caused by the joining of Colwyn Bay. And you now have sides, I mean, Statin have run away with it to a certain extent, but Flint have been strong. Colwyn Bay have put their marker out early. Gillsfield, Clanrider and Mochnant making an early start. You know these teams, there's a lot of good teams in North Wales football, Craig, but I'm just wondering if this season, with those two factors of extra teams and an extra place going down, has made it harder.
It's a difficult one really to assess because you just named a few teams there that have done extremely well this season. You know, but look at ourselves. You know, we'd normally be up there. You know, Ruthin aren't having the best of seasons, I don't think, in terms of where they've done it, what they've done in the last few seasons. I know they've lost Ilan, their captain, and it is difficult to assess from year to year if the league's stronger or if it's the same or what. You know, Real, you know, you look at Real in the situation they find themselves financially, it's a difficult one. But on the field and as a squad, they've got a very, very strong side. Gresford themselves have underperformed but have gone on a fantastic run and they've got a hell of a squad there. So, you know, but there's no easy games in this league. You can travel down to Penryn Cork and Llanrhyadr and they are tough places to go. And I think the league itself is as strong as it has always been, even though given that it's lost a few sides, like the Holyheads, like your Denbys, Hollywells, that again, fantastic clubs and really difficult places to go and play football and get a result.
And at the bottom end of that, although the likes of Llangefni and Corwen are, you know, fighting their way in that area, in Llanfair, for example, you genuinely don't know what you're turning up to when you go to those teams.
No, you know, and you're right, because I think, to be fair, if you look at the managers in the league now and the coaches, they're just getting stronger and stronger, you know. As you just said, Chris there at Llangefni, fantastic guy and a really good footballing person, same as Sean Tudor down in Codwen, you know, and these games become a tactical battle now. It's not just a case of turning up and trying to do what you want to do. It's assessing what the opposition are doing at the same time and trying to juggle that to get the best result that you can for your side. And as I said, that's what makes the league so good and so competitive, because there are good managers in the league that are setting up their teams in a very, very good way and making them difficult to beat, and at the same time posing a threat to go and win games.
So let's bring in the killer question. How do we solve all of this season end, Craig? Are you a play till the end man, or are you saying, let's call it quits now?
Well, I mean, you know, everyone's got a hidden agenda, haven't they, Mark? And obviously, if it was null and void now, would there be any relegation? And in the position that we're in, that would obviously be a positive thing. But on the flip side of that, it would be very difficult for those who want to get promoted to this league that have spent money and worked extremely hard to get their facilities, et cetera, in order to progress. And that's what every club wants. That's what they all strive to do, is progress and be more successful from year to year and grow stronger. I think, obviously, first and foremost, that the health of the humanity is the most important thing. And until we know for sure what's going to happen, I think football obviously has to take a back seat. But if the season was to finish in June, great. It'd be nice to play some summer football, competitive summer football. And as I said, the lads are still putting in the effort and training from week to week, doing their own runs and making sure they maintain their levels, so that if we get a call sort of the end of May that, look, the season's starting in 10 days and this is how you're going to complete it, then we'll go and give it a good go to make sure that we finish, and then what will be at the end of the day.
So what sort of planning stage are you in at the moment? Are you planning for next season, or are you planning to finish this season?
Well, that's the conundrum, isn't it? You know, we can't sort of plan for pre-season because we don't know if this season's finished, so we can't put any plans in place to play opposition sides and set our dates to when the lads would normally come back in, sort of the end of June, because, as you just said there, we don't know what's going to happen with this season. I think we'll know more towards the end of this sort of, well, halfway through May, to be honest. They put the date down the 15th of May, I think. And then maybe, hopefully, that these restrictions have been lifted a bit. But then are they going to allow for big social gatherings when you're talking about over 250 people supporting a club on a Saturday? You know, it all depends on how the government sort of see things panning out, I guess.
And obviously, big developments with a new stand coming to a Trife. So it's not just you guys who are preparing on the pitch. You know, there's developments that you guys want to take off the pitch as well.
Yeah, it's a fantastic club, and there's some real hard-working volunteers. And obviously, the stand was for David Wynne, who you know, sadly passed away. And it was a big loss to the club, but I've been working with Dav extremely closely over the last fair few years, and it was always him that was driving for the club to improve off the field, you know, with the Oshan Roberts Skills Centre, improving the clubhouse, and he was the real drive behind all that, and I think his legacy should be where he wanted it to be in terms of finishing off that main stand and making the club progress off the field, because, as I said, that's what clubs strive to do, is improve, you know, not just on the field, but you've got to make sure your house is in order and you're improving off the field as well. And that's thankfully what the club are trying to do. I think every club in North Wales, across the country are going to be struggling financially now, and it's going to be a real difficult time ahead, I think, for a lot of different clubs, for a lot of different reasons, because your normal sponsors, etc., your advertising would be coming in now, and that's just not going to happen, unfortunately, because of this economic sort of downfall that's happening at the moment. You know, this should be the busiest time around here now with Easter and the weather that we've been having, but unfortunately, that's not the case. And as I said, financially, there's going to be big impacts for these clubs, so we'll just have to see what happens with time, and hopefully we can get back to normal as quickly as possible.
Everybody's having to think on their feet and perhaps having to think about new ways of doing things. And that sort of leads me to my final question, Craig. What if it plays to the end and you guys get back on that pitch, what's the one thing that you would change now to ensure more results, positive results, as opposed to perhaps what we saw at the start of the season?
I just think it's the hard work, and perhaps this break has maybe done us the good. because the players were, you know, feeling the pressure from week to week. That, there's no doubt about that. We've got to win games of football, and I would say we'd still need to win near enough every game that we've got left, and there's some real tough fixtures in there if you look at it. But I think this break has made everyone realise how much we all miss football. It's a release for us all from our daily routines, if you like, from work stresses, family life, health. You know, we all turn up to football on the weekend, and it gives us that release, you know, because while you're there, it's all about the football and nothing else. And that's great because, as I said, it's important for mental health, etc., that we get that release through the week. And lots of people do it in different ways. So we'll make sure that we're prepared, firstly, that we're fit and we're healthy and we're good to go. But I think, as I said, that the lads have missed it massively. And they all just want to get back playing. And that playing with no fear, that playing with no pressure on your shoulders and just turn up and play is hopefully what will turn our season around if we have to finish it.